Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name's Barbara P. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, June 24th, 7 a.m. Eastern. Today we're reading from the big book and we are on page 27, the first paragraph, some of our alcoholic readers, and we'll be reading two paragraphs today, finishing with "Closed on Him with a Clang." Today's readers are Craig F. will be reading our text, Nancy P. will be reading our closing, Tamara C. is backing us up, we have Judy O. on our 12 steps, we have Laurel B. on our 12 traditions. Our newcomer greeter, stand by for our second hour, will be Karen W., and our host will be Christine G. The reference number for yesterday's special edition, Sunday, June 23rd, is 21509. So that's the reference number. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So, Judy O., would you go ahead and read our 12 steps for us?
Hi, this is Judy O. in New Jersey, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food. Our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a decision and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we've harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much for letting me be of service.
Well, thanks, Judy O. Yeah, and this is the last day of our Monday team, so thank you to all of our trusted servants for the month. Laurel B., step right up for the 12 traditions, please.
Hi, this is Laurel B., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Wakanda, Illinois. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, O-Readers Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service.
Well, thanks, Laurel B. We appreciate you. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, please let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we're going to resume our Big Book study on page 27. It's going to be on the first paragraph, some of our alcoholic readers, and we're going to read through two paragraphs ending with closed on him with a clang. So I'd like to ask Craig F. to get started.
Okay. This is Craig F., recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Some of our alcoholic readers may think they can do without spiritual help. Let us tell you the rest of the conversation our friend had with his doctor. The doctor said, "You have the mind of a chronic alcoholic. I've never seen one single case recover where that state of mind exists to the extent that it does in you." Our friend felt as though the gates of hell had closed on him with a clang. Interesting paragraph. I'm going to recap real quick, and where we're at is this is Roland Hazard, of course, talking to Dr. Carl Jung, and he had been worked with Dr. Jung for a long time, had been for a year or so, had been sober, and thought that he said he had understood the inner workings and wellsprings of his mind so well that he would never have to drink again. And yet he was drunk again shortly. He went to Paris from Austria and met friends of his parents, and they celebrated his new sobriety with a bottle of champagne, I think. And he got drunk again, and so he's back now, hat in hand, defeated. And, you know, in other words, he's tried this analysis. He's tried this idea that if I can just figure out what's wrong with me, I won't have to drink like that. He's tried human aid. He's tried everything he knows to try, and he's fallen. But the key to this paragraph is it says some of our alcoholic readers may think they can do without spiritual help. You see, he tried this without spiritual help. He had not gotten to the point of surrender to a higher power yet, and he was unable to stay sober on his own unaided willpower. He was unable to stay sober through analysis. He was unable to stay sober through the help of man, and he's about to find out about the exception. In other words, he's about to find out how to stay sober when he's at this hopeless state. You know, and I think it's a good thing he felt like the gates of hell had closed on him with a clang. You know, that's our step one experience. If we haven't had a a step one experience, we're unlikely to be able to go ahead and do the rest of the steps. If we haven't felt that that gate clang behind you, we don't appreciate the freedom that comes from this, from surrender to a power greater than ourselves, sufficiently to go through what we need to go through, the inventory and the amends and the other things, the spiritual way of life that is dictated by this program that it fuels and provides us with our recovery. And so he's having that step one experience to the depth of his soul. And you know, a lot of times we'll get frustrated about that. You know, I ate again, or I stumbled again, I fell again. And so all, you know, I don't know what to do. It's important, I think, that we see that as the step one experience. We hear that gate close on us, and we say we don't want that again, so that we'll accept the spiritual help that is going to come and be described here soon in this paragraph. And so, anyway, with that, I'm going to pass. I don't know. There we go. It's time.
Thanks so much, Craig. Well said. So, alrighty, I'm going to go ahead and take a list of names for sharing. On, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So, who else would like to share on this paragraph this morning?
Gloria K.
Tamara C.
from South Florida.
Larry
Dr. Gloria, Tamara, Larry.
Mm-hmm. Shanna C., Tennessee.
Shanna.
Olivia K.
Olivia, gotcha.
Roz G.
Roz, great. Who else?
Jessica C.
Jessica. All right, Nancy. Let's stop there. Let me get you too, Nancy. So let's go ahead and stop there, and then we'll have time for another list of names. Okay, gotcha, honey. Put you in. All right. So I've got Gloria, Tamara, Larry, Shanna, Olivia, Roz, Jessica, Nancy, C, and Hanietta. Okay, so let's get going. And we'll be doing 3-minute times. Gloria K, you are up, followed by Tamara.
Hi, it's Gloria K, compulsive overeater in recovery for today. I just want to thank everybody. I needed to hear this. You know, it doesn't only apply to the food, but if we rely on God for everything, for absolutely everything, then we can get through life, because life is ups and downs and sideways and crossovers and all sorts of stuff. So thank you all for being here and for sharing every day. You do a great job. Bye now.
Great. Thank you, Gloria K. And if people don't mind, just give us your state also, so if people want to find you on the member list, we can do that.
Oh,
so Gloria
South Florida.
K. Thanks so much. Gloria K. from Florida. Tamara C., you are up, and you're followed by Larry K.
Good morning. Thank you so much. This is Tamara C. I'm grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Missouri. And when I try to manage without spiritual help, it really does feel like a fate worse than death. There's no escape for me. And for a long time, I did that with my food. I didn't think that, I just tried to manage my food and my eating, and it never worked for me. And today, as, I'm recovered from the food obsession, I'm free from the physical craving. I can still find myself, though, when I pause and do an inventory, I'm back in that place of trying to manage life without spiritual help. And what that might look like for me is I might wake up with this thought, I've got to plan the perfect day. I'm a teacher. I'm on summer break right now. I just finished last week teaching summer school, and I have a few weeks before the next school year starts. And in my mind is like, okay, I have to use my time perfectly. I have to get rest. I need to do this service. I need to prepare for the next school year. And I'm trying to like get the most out of it. And it can be very self-centered. It can be driven by itself. Like my motives might seem good. I'm trying to, you know, what can I do for others? But really deep down, it's like me trying to be a good person so that I can be worthy. And without spiritual help, I find myself playing God, thinking I know what's best for others or myself or what this day is supposed to look like. And I'm taking on the roles that have not been assigned to me. That's what's been coming up in my 10 steps lately. I'm resenting anything and anyone who challenges my ambition to show the world that I'm a good, smart, kind, worthy person. And where is God in all this? This is my addict mind, and it will keep me uncomfortable and needing food. And so I'm grateful that I have found a new way of living in the steps, trusting and relying on spiritual help. I have the mind of a compulsive overeater, and that state of mind exists in me to the extent that I am beyond human aid. So I get to treat that state of mind when I wake up and turn immediately to my higher power. And throughout the day when I'm disturbed, I'm learning to pause and notice and turn again to my higher power. And when I retire at night, I get to turn again to my higher power. I practice the steps, and God keeps changing me and healing my mind and pulling me out of what feels like the gates of hell. And it's a beautiful, amazing gift. I'm so grateful for it. Thank you, I pass.
Oh, thanks, Tamara C. from Missouri. Larry K., you are up, and you'll be followed by Shanna C.
Good morning. Thanks for your service. I'm Larry K. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. You know, the doctor said you have a mind of a chronic alcoholic. I've never seen one single case recover where that state of mind existed to the extent that it does in you. So when I take a look at this conversation between Dr. Jung and Roland Hazard, you know, I try to see as a compulsive reader if I can find some identification here, because that's critical that I find some identification. You know, Dr. Jung, he's basically telling me that for someone like me, my consciousness is like a dark room. And the only illumination in the state of mind for this dark room, the only illumination is like a flickering flame of a compulsion to eat. I'm trapped. And this is the message that he was sending to Roland. You are trapped. Your willpower will never, ever, ever provide a door to freedom. I have to know that my willpower will never provide a door to freedom. That door does not exist. And yet, we continue to search for that door, right? We continue to look for it. Continue to have a plan B. It's a complete and utter delusion. I have to come to this state of mind that I see the delusion. I can't think my way out of this. I can't wish my way out of this. I can't even pray my way to freedom from the obsession to eat. We know lack of power. That was my problem. And yet despite all this, you know, I would tell myself, I hate how weak I am, and I can't let anyone see that weakness. And I'm filled with shame that I won't just put the food down. I see other people putting the food down, and I'm accomplished in my life, and yet I'm in a cage, and I don't know how to end this cycle. And the more that I eat, the more that I want, and the more that I want, the more that I eat. And there's no way out. And this is an endless cycle of misery. It's a devastation. I'm stuck in the quicksand, and I can't get out of the quicksand. And the more I thresh about in the quicksand, the more I become stuck in the quicksand. And, you know, until a soldier knows he's been defeated, he will not put down his weapon. When a soldier is defeated on the battlefield, they absolutely put down their weapon. They don't need to be convinced anymore to put down their weapon. So, you know, for me, the flame It's like a flame. It can't be extinguished until it has consumed all of the fuel, you know, all the oxygen. And now I know what I need to recover, a spiritual awakening. And a spiritual awakening does not come about through passive acceptance. That I had to understand. It was going to take action. We're going to learn more about that. Thanks so much. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Larry K. from Chicago. Shanna C., you are up. You'll be followed by Olivia. And let me just repeat where we are. We're on page 27, first paragraph. Some of our alcoholic readers, and we're reading two paragraphs. Closed on him with a clang. Shanna, go right ahead.
Good morning. This is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater through God's grace. And I'm from Tennessee. And thanks everyone who's read. You could literally like put down the mic on everyone who shared this morning. Yeah, so how do I get convinced, or how do I know I'm at that point where I'm willing to go to any length? How, you know, we hear a lot of times, and really convinced that I can't live without spiritual help. How do I know? Because, you know, I know myself, there were plenty of times where, like, or especially like a few years ago, where I thought, I'm doing all I'm supposed to do. I'm trying to follow the food plan. I'm doing what my sponsor says. I'm going to the meetings. I'm blah, 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 and all of this stuff, and it's like, okay, I'm still eating. This doesn't work, you know. And for me, the best thing I can say about me personally is that all I know is God must have heard every single desperate cry I had, even though my ego was too proud to acknowledge the fact that I really couldn't quit on my own, or acknowledge the confusion that I had around food and the allergic ingredients and all of the things, and just the lack of understanding. There was a desperate cry that I didn't even know I was crying out to the God of my understanding. It's the only thing I can explain that he heard it for years. And then by the time I got to the point where I truly felt within my own self that I had nowhere else to go. And I can look back and see that so many of the prayers that I was praying, even though well-intentioned at the time and not realizing they were selfish at the time, I was basically, analogy-wise, I was praying to God to grow me another arm so I could scratch my own back. In other words, God, if you do this, if you remove this thing from me, I'll do whatever, whatever. But I was really just wanting to be thin and pretty and look good and so that everybody think I'm awesome. Didn't know that, but you know that same drive is what kept me praying. And then I got to the point where I'm like, I really am like that person who has lost their legs when it comes to food. I'll never grow new ones. I'm going to eat myself to death unless there's something that happens to me from something bigger than me that changes me. And it's like, okay, God, either change me, kill me, or enable me to live like this. I don't know what else to do. And it was then that upon complete defeat that I ended up being shown. And somehow I've been able to have the power to do it as required and stay abstinent. I don't know. I'm just grateful that God of my understanding heard me and that I was provided this way to live without having to compulsively eat, a way to be useful, a way to get through each day. And it's not always easy. I've been able to walk through really, really great times, really, really tough times. The past 3 weeks have been hell for me. And so glad I haven't had to eat over it. It's been absolutely amazing. Been provided everything I needed. And through all the pain, I've been able to see the God of my understanding at work in my life and in the lives of others. And that's better than any bite I could ever take. Anyway, enough of me. I'm interested to hearing you guys. And God bless you all. That's it.
Thanks, Shanna C. from Tennessee. Olivia K., you are up. Let us know where you're from.
Good morning. This is Olivia Kay from Illinois. So good to be on the line this morning. Thanks to our moderator and for Craig for starting us off. It was really good. This is right where I am today, right now. Step one. And I just want to kind of share that over the years, it's been quite a journey to try to learn more about the big book and about what
what this step means. Means that I need to get out of the way, for sure. And I'm so grateful. I don't have a lot of wisdom here to share this morning. I mainly want to claim my seat and say thank you, and to just pledge action going forward with step one, and to just express gratitude to all of you for being on the line. That's all I've got today. I pass. Thanks.
Hey, thanks so much. Olivia Kay from Illinois. Sounds like a lot of wisdom to me. Roz G., you are up. You'll be followed by Jessica C.
Hey, good morning. This is Roz G., recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And, boy, I love the last sentence here. Our friend felt as though the gates of hell had closed on him. Not just closed, but with a clang. And that is such descriptive writing and makes the reader, you know, just think about, at least me, think about this door that goes boom. And that I'm stuck in this place that's, you know, that's not going to open up. And I love what Craig said about how that horrible feeling that one gets that brings us to this program, that step one experience. And you know, I've had several of those, but one I remember in particular where I was late, you know, sitting at the edge of a bed with, you know, just so defeated, thinking I don't want to live anymore. The only reason I want to live is because I have kids. I have two girls. My son wasn't born yet. And I was thinking, I can't leave this. I can't leave them. They need me. But I mean, I had just like no reason to live. I was so upset about my life, my body, my eating problem, my fat, being broke, and just all the things that a newcomer compulsive overeater's life is all about. No hope. And, you know, later, of course, we're going to talk about the vital spiritual experience and the psychic change that comes along with it, and how today I don't think like that, that I do have hope today, and that I depend on God to, you know, to get me through every day. And that I'm so grateful that I live with spiritual principles, and that when life does hit me and that things come up, that I have tools to be able to turn to so that I don't have to feel the gates of hell close on me with a clang. But I sure remember that, you know, those feelings, and I'm glad that I'm able to share them and bring them up, especially when I'm working with newcomers. So thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Roz G., California. Jessica C., you are up. You'll be followed by Nancy C. Let me put a quick reminder. We're on page 27, starting with the first paragraph and reading through two paragraphs, ending with closed on him with a clang. So Jessica C., go right ahead.
Hi, this is Jessica C., recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. Yeah, really great meeting and really enjoying all the shares. Thank you. This paragraph just reminds me that for me, in my character defects, you know, I'm in an abnormal state when I'm not in my character defects. I was chatting with my sponsor this weekend, and she shared a nugget that she had heard at a meeting where the speaker had said when he's not, you know, eating compulsively, that he's in an abnormal state. And for me, I relate that to my fear. When I'm not in self-centered fear, I'm in an abnormal state. And, you know, in my conversation with her, it surfaced this old belief that one day I won't need to do this spiritual work as much, that, you know, all of this inventory work and prayer and all this, these spiritual disciplines, I have this old belief that it will all add up to a permanent cure for my fear. And then once I hit that milestone, I won't have to do this work as much. And then I can take it easy. And then I can finally you know, relax and enjoy myself. but, you know, the truth is that, you know, I need to be on an IV drip of my spiritual disciplines so that my character defects don't take me down. I started a new job a month ago, and it's been great. It's definitely a God-guided thing that this happened. But yeah, there's lots of new experiences, lots of things I don't know how to do, and I'm in fear. But I see that God is giving me this opportunity to need Him even more, and to have even more constant contact with God. And it's actually this constant contact, that is where I get my joy, my happiness, and my freedom. It's not by hitting a threshold of achievement and then I can relax. It's actually by leaning into God and having more constant contact with God. And I get to have freedom from old ideas that I can't learn anything new. which is, you know, there's like, it really does suck the joy out of life to think you can't learn anything new. But I'm getting to see through this new job that I can learn new things. And it's really exciting and invigorating. And, you know, old ideas that I can't rely on God. This old idea that God's not going to show up for me consistently. And so I have to get back into self-reliance. So, yeah, I'm just really grateful for this reminder today. I'll pass with that.
Great. Thanks so much, Jessica C. from Ontario. You're up, and you'll be followed by Hanietta, and then we'll be taking a new list of names.
Hey, thanks, Barbara. Thank you for your service. This is Nancy C., gratefully recovered in Michigan this morning. What an amazing meeting, and Craig, thanks for the lead-off. Stick with me here for a second, but I'm imagining the Animal House parade where they're going down the street and then they go down the alley and they get smashed up against the wall and they can't go anywhere. And that's how I feel in this paragraph, that I am out of ideas. I always had one way out of everything, and that got me to be able to continue in my disease, continue eating, because there was always another diet. There was always an excuse of why I behaved badly. There was always something else. And here I'm trapped. There's no place to go. This is beyond human aid. I am completely out of ideas when I think about this, you know, the gates of hell just clanging shut. And spiritual help, man, I had a hard time trying to think about spiritual help, but I was helpless. I had no place else to go, so I had to accept the thought that there was a different way. I had to listen to people in this room to say, there's a different way, just let go. And that was so difficult for me, and it changed my whole life once I did, because all of a sudden, oh my God, the miracle of all miracles, I was able to put the food down. Miracle on miracles, I was able to follow directions and not have my fixed idea that I know how to do it better than somebody else, because I always knew better than anybody else. And today I know absolutely nothing. And I have to have spiritual help every morning when I wake up. I need to plug into that power because I have none on my own. So my step one experience has to go every day with everything, because I am so much into understanding how life should be that I really have to ask God to say, no, you show me how it's supposed to be and let me participate in my life rather than try and control everyone else. And the ease and comfort that comes to my life by turning it over and surrendering, the power I have is amazing. Because it's not mine, it's God's. This is a spiritual program. It's very serious. The food is a symptom. Put it down. If you're confused about this God thing or spirituality, just realize there's something out there. Believe in it and trust that there is a better way than being down at that alley and having everyone else bumping up against you and you can't breathe. start breathing today. And with that, I pass.
Well, thanks, Nancy C. And Hanietta, you are up, and then we'll take a new list of names.
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much for doing the meeting for us. And I want to thank, was it Craig, I think, that gave the first share. There are so many things today that have just jumped out at me. And but I have to say, when Craig read that at the very end, when it said, and the gates of hell clanged on me, I felt and heard that clang this morning. It was like when they roll that door and bang, and just, I felt the vibration almost. It was like truly amazing this morning. I just can't even tell you. But what it reminds me of is the fact that I think I recognized it because I felt that. I mean, I believe that that is that step one feeling of just nowhere to go, no place to go, nothing to do except here. I have tried everything else, and I have tried everything else looking for an easier, softer way, and I'm going to tell you, this is the easier, softer way. And I love having a disease that my cure to this disease is being close to God. Man, you know, that's a whole lot better than some of the things that we have to go through to be better. And, you know, like dialysis, God forbid, or something. You know, this is a path to God. That's my cure. Wow. You know, if you're new, I know this might seem all like way over your head and I'll never, ever get there. You know what? You will if you don't go away, you don't quit, and don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Hanietta. All right, so let's go ahead and take another list of names. We probably have room for, I think, at least five or six.
Julie M.
Julie M.
Claire E. from the UK.
Claire, gotcha. Claire E.
Where are we, please?
I'm sorry, who was that?
Melissa C.
What page?
Gotcha, Melissa C. I think somebody else is in there.
What page, please?
I'll go. Give me 1 second, and then I'll go ahead and repeat that. Who else? Oh, let me do it first, just in case people are thinking about sharing. Page 27. We're on the first paragraph. Some of our alcoholic readers, and we're reading through two paragraphs ending in "closed on him with a clang."
Janice P.M.
Janice, gotcha.
Thank you.
Joanne P.
in Michigan.
Joanne, I got you. And somebody from Michigan?
Erin K. in Michigan.
Erin, okay. Let's stop there, and then we'll see if we have time. Hopefully we'll have time for everybody. Julie M., you are up, and you'll be followed by Claire E. Go right ahead, Julie.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Julie M. from New York, upstate New York. I just wanted to thank the moderator and Craig for starting us out this morning on a extremely important paragraph for me, my clang. On March 11th, 2023, I was desperate and I was on my knees after, you know, being in OA for 17 years and relapsing, chronic relapser. And at that day, I was so desperate that I was on my knees, you know, not humbly asking God for help, begging him, help me, you know, again. So when I stopped praying and my higher power inside of me said, go onto the computer and look for an OA meeting. And I came upon Vision and I haven't left. And the miracle happened where I got a sponsor. I went through the big book with my sponsor in the steps. I had a spiritual awakening. You know, I'm weighing and measuring my food. And it's just been a complete miracle because I needed to be down on my knees begging again and surrendering my yellow light foods, which held me hostage every day for so long. And when I put those yellow light foods down, the miracle happened, and I just couldn't believe it, because God did for me what I could not do for myself. And this program is just a miracle, and we're all miracles on this line, and please don't leave before the miracle happens. Thank you so much for allowing me to share, and have a great day, everybody.
Thanks, Julie M. Claire E. from the UK, and Melissa C., you'll be up next. Claire?
Thank you so much, Barbara, and to everyone that makes this meeting happen. My name's Claire E. I'm a recovered compulsive eater and bulimic in the UK. And I read this paragraph this morning, actually, in my quiet time. And what struck me about this, some of our alcoholic readers may think they can do without spiritual help. It reminds me of a paragraph we did a couple of pages ago, which says, if you are as seriously alcoholic as we are, we believe there's no middle of the road solution. And I love this bit because it sort of says, we've got two choices. One is to go on to the bitter end, blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation. And B, you know, that's choice A. And B is to accept spiritual help. And I listened to a speaker once and it made me laugh. He said, and we spend our lives chasing option C. You know, it's got to be something else. There's got to be something else other than this. But he said any option C is just A in disguise. It's just, again, going back to another way of blotting out my intolerable situation as best as I possibly can. And of course, you know, that's not worked for me. That's why I'm here. You know, if that had worked for me, I wouldn't be here. And I can't do without spiritual help. I've proved that to myself many, many, many times. So, you know, and it's not just about, you know, doing without it or doing with it. It's accepting spiritual help. You know, it's like I can dial 911, but I've got to let that ambulance in. You know, I've got to let them help me, and I've got to let my higher power help me. You know, I can sit and do two-way prayer, but if I don't do what comes to me, you know, what as my higher power, you know, instructing me to do, then I'm not going to get well. You know, and for me, so much of this is about being helpable, you know, about help, you know, just putting one foot in front of the other, doing as I'm told, you know, being sponsorable. I remember someone said to me once, you're not sponsorable. It's being sponsorable, being open, doing as I'm told, you know, because something I've really proved to myself is, you know, this mind of a chronic alcoholic, never seen, you know, it does really exist in me. There are other people, I think, in OA, and I've met a lot that probably don't have this illness to the extent that I do. But I really do. And I've proven that to myself many, many times with many, many relapses. I am beyond human help. There is absolutely nothing I can do that will help myself. I absolutely need I am a woman that needs a miracle on a daily basis. And, you know, thank God today, just for today, I have that miracle in my life. You know, I'm not eating compulsively. I have access to all sorts of amazing support and spiritual help, and pray God that I accept that and I use that so that the gates of hell won't close on me with a clang again. And they have, you know, I bumped along the bottom many, many times. I felt that clang many times in my life, and it didn't actually, even that didn't make a difference. You know, even that didn't make a difference. So I pray I continue to accept that spiritual help. I need it. I want it. It is a miracle, and thank God. So I will leave it there. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Clara E. from the UK. Melissa C., you're up. You'll be followed by Janice P.M.
Hey, good morning. Thanks so much, Barbara, for your service. My name is Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, I was going to hold off and wait till tomorrow, because tomorrow talks about, you know, what the solution is, right? This effective change. But that, you know, the share is really, this morning really got me thinking about, you know, the gates of hell, how they closed in on me with a clang, and how crucial that was, you know, that I tried this program without spiritual help, believe it or not, you know, like I came in years earlier and I got food help, you know, I got a food plan help, and I got some disciplines help, and I got some fellowship help, but I didn't buy in to the whole thing. I picked and chose, you know, what I thought was going to work for me, and it worked until it didn't work. And, you know, for me, I felt the gates of hell close in on me with a clang. I remember very clearly, you know, in my early 40s, going to a doctor, needing to have surgery, and then refusing to do it because my blood pressure was so high, and I knew it was my weight and my eating. And the doctor there told me, you're not going to make it out of your 40s. If you keep on going the way you're going, I don't have any patients that live outside their 40s with the kind of numbers that you're presenting with. And he said, Melissa, every time I see you, you get fatter and fatter. And you've never been able to do anything effective about it for long. And then he gave me the number, you know, of weight loss surgery, and because that was going to be the solution. And I remember going home feeling somewhat comforted by knowing, all right, I'll get the surgery, you know. And I happened to do some research online, and I read about a woman who, you know, who had the surgery, lost weight, and found out she could still eat ice cream and regained it. And that, for me, was when the gates of hell closed on me, because I knew I would eat again. And I did remember my earlier days in OA, and thank you, God. You know, the next thing that showed up on my internet search was OA, and I found myself back here again. And, you know, enough failure and enough pain had me accepting spiritual help. And for someone like me, I'm a person who requires a miracle. I have no other options. But we have a program that gives us a recipe for a miracle, and I'm so grateful to know that today. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Melissa C. Janice PM, you are up. Let me just repeat where we are. Page 27, starting with the first paragraph, some of our alcoholic readers, and ending with two paragraphs closed on him with a clang. Janice PM, you're up. You'll be followed by Joanne.
And thank you so much, Barbara P. My name is Janice PM, and I am a grateful, recovered, I was going to say alcoholic, because we're talking about alcohol, compulsive overeater, amongst other things. But, you know, this is, oh, boy, identification, like was said, identification. You know, it says some of our alcoholic readers think that they can do. And, of course, I was part of those some. I put myself right in that category. Well, you know, if there's just some, then maybe I am unique and I can just go do and keep searching. And that's what I did. But, you know, there was a divine intervention way before I even got into the steps and told me to go to, you know, this particular site on the internet. But somebody in that group told me to go to a group that was previous to A Vision for You, and that group wasn't even on the internet. So, I mean, it had to be divine intervention, because I want to say that from that group, I found A Vision for You. And boy, and it says the doctor, we're talking about Dr. Young, and you know, there's so much similarities. We read about Bill with Dr. Silkworth. Dr. Silkworth knew what was a problem was with the mind. They knew, these doctors, including all the doctors, they know what the problem is, right? I mean, they know what it is, you know, stay away from drinking, you need it. But they didn't know how to get this solution. And, he knows that there was never one single case. Well, of course, I just was so defiant. I said, oh, yeah, no, but I'm different. I'll find out. I'll find out my selfishness about this merciless obsession. That's what a chronic alcoholic or a chronic illness, it keeps coming back and keep coming back. See, I thought the solution was get the food plan in this particular, and then I'll get all the information and then I'll be all set. But if you know, and you're a real compulsive overeater, you know, like I know through experience, that it does not work. Because after I'm through with the diet, I can't stay stopped. So there has to be something else, because I, like it was said, there's nothing left. You know, even having my husband, who's a dentist, you know, do my teeth, staple it together, wire it together. No, nothing's going to work. So it's the mind. Thank you. My mind is unthinkable. I acquired the knowledge, but my mind was always in relapse. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Thanks so much, Janice PM. Joanne, you're up, and then we have Erin K.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joanne P. from Pennsylvania. So grateful to be here. Just filled with a heart of love and gratitude for all of you and your shares. Thank you, and for the opportunity to share with you a little bit. This paragraph just reminds me of when I came into this program, state of mind that I was in, and without spiritual help, you know, I before I came into the program, I used to tell my doctor, I think I need a psychiatrist, there's something wrong with me. And I just couldn't, I just couldn't control my eating. And it says here, the doctor said, well, my doctor never told me that I had the mind of a chronic alcoholic or a chronic compulsive overeater, but when I read the doctor's opinion, I suddenly understood, oh my goodness, I have a disease. I have an obsession of the mind, an allergy of the food, an abnormal reaction to food. And it was like, it was like the gates of hell had closed, but I saw an opening. I saw, I had some hope. And just by getting a sponsor and starting to work these steps, I realized that I had to abandon myself to my higher power. I had to surrender because I had no power. I thought I did, man. I thought I could do everything. And it wasn't until I became humble and surrendered to my higher power and accepted everyone and life, really, on life's terms, that I was able to get out of the gates of hell. And I was killing myself, man. I was not in good health. And so, I started to change. And I'm just so grateful for our fellowship and for our steps, and especially for our higher power, my God, who,
time.
When I to him, takes care of everything. So thank you for letting me share with that. I pass.
Great. Thank you so much, Joanne P. and Erin K., you are up.
Good morning, everybody. This is Erin K., recovered compulsive overeater in Michigan. Thanks, everybody, doing service on the meeting. I think about this clothes on him with a clang that's striking everybody this morning. And, it struck me this thought that, I come to realize in recovery that, I thought that the food was keeping me imprisoned in hell, but it was actually, it was my mind. The prison was my mind. It was my own thinking. And then I sat down just now and I reread the paragraph one more time. And it says it right here. It's right here. You have the mind of a chronic alcoholic. And you can't recover in that state of mind. And so what are the, the aspects of that the type of thinking? It's very black and white thinking. It's catastrophic thinking. It's, I walk through the door and my husband asks me a benign question, did you pay that bill yesterday? And maybe I forgot, but, my mind jumps to, oh my God, I'm a horrible person. I'm getting a divorce. Or somebody looks askance at me and I read into it. Or maybe my day doesn't go the way I think it should and I don't get enough done. or I get pulled into doing something I wasn't planning. And then it's like, oh my God, you know, I'm not going to get promoted. I'm going to get fired. I'm going to end up destitute on the street. You know, this is the type of thinking that I am prisoner to. And the only, you know, and then it feeds my emotions and my discomfort. And for almost 40 years of my life, the only thing that I had to medicate that was a bite of this and a little of that all day long until I surrendered. I put down my solution, which was food. And that was the first on a series of surrenders to putting down my ways of doing things. The things that I think I need to be happy, the things I think I need to be okay. Connect with this higher power who I call God, who, you know, both needs, but really I allow God to define my needs today. That's what I'm working toward, more and more letting God define my needs. And I get so much help in this program, and I also try to give it where I can. And, you know, this has been a beautiful meeting because my beautiful sponsor shared before me and one of my beautiful sponsees shared before me. And it just struck me how much God helps us through each other. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Erin Kay, and you've closed us out for this half of our meeting. Thank you to everyone who shared, and please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. Today's share ID, if you want to re-listen to this meeting, is 21510, 21510. That's for today, Monday, June 24th. We'll now close with reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Nancy P. please read a vision for you, starting with our book is meant to be suggestive only, and ending with keep you until then.
Yes, I will. Thank you for asking me to share, and thank you for letting me do service this month. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.